I'm pulling out my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for another drive to work. Okay, so today's topic comes from a blog. Somebody asked me, what is the job of a lead designer? So I'm going to answer that today. So first, let me just clarify what it means. A lead designer is the term we use when you lead a design team. My job in outside of that is I'm the head designer. I'm in charge of sort of design at large. But the when I lead a team, then I'm lead designer of that team. For example, I was lead vision designer for Outlaws of Thunder Junction. Sometimes you can co-lead. For example, Murders at Karloff Manor, I co-led the vision with Mark Gottlieb. So the way I'm going to approach it today, so there basically are four different design teams that exist. There's exploratory design, there's vision design, there is set design, and there is play design. So I'm going to talk at large about responsibilities. There's a little bit of variance between the teams just because what you're responsible changes a little bit. So from time to time, I will touch upon how certain sections might be slightly different. But what I want to do today is just talk about, at large, the responsibilities of a lead designer. What does a lead designer have to do? Okay, first and foremost, a lead designer is in charge of the file, the set. When we are making a magic set, that's the end result. We need to make a magic set. And so every way along the way, we are going toward that. We are trying to, we are making a magic set. And a lot of the responsibility of the lead designer is just making sure the set is where it needs to be. Now, as you go through the process, where the set needs to be is very different. Exploratory, for example, is not even making a file, to be honest. They are mapping out potential mechanics and themes. Exploratory is just looking at what could be. As I often say when I talk about exploratory, we go wide, not deep. Meaning, we're just sort of feeling out all the different areas to get a sense of what exists. Vision design does make a file, although the file for vision design is more about proof of concept. It's not that those cards will necessarily be final, some could be, but more, you're trying to put together your file, you're making your mechanics and your themes and your just general structure, and then the file is more proof of concept. When I use my house building metaphor, you're making blueprints. You're saying, hey, this is the kind of house it's going to be. The file and set design is much more what I would call a real file. The file that set design hands over is going to be the cards that you all play with. And then play design is just fine-tuning the file. They're just making sure the costs are correct, making sure the stuff plays the best it can. They're just sort of feel testing, if you will, play testing, to make sure that it does all the things it needs to do. And play design is looking at the larger picture of how this set fits in with other sets. For standard, they're spending a lot of energy on making sure the limited plays correctly, but there's a lot of stress testing that happens. But all along the way, the lead designer is in charge of the file, of the set, of making sure that we are going in the direction we need to go to make the best magic product we can. Okay, so very much they have to think about the product. We're making the product. And as I'll get in today, there's a lot of different aspects to the making of the product. But at the bare minimum, the number one responsibility is you are making a magic set. You, the lead, are responsible at that stage for advancing the magic set to get to the point where we can print it. Okay, the next thing you're responsible for are the people, your team members. You are in charge. You are running the meetings. Oh, the other thing I should mention, I was going to mention this up front. When you lead a team, you have what's called a strong second. That is somebody who's helping you. Depending on who's leading the team, how much the strong second does can vary. I, for example, tend to use my strong seconds as a learning opportunity, that one of the best ways to sort of lead a set before you lead a set is to work with me. I give them a lot of control of the file. And some of the things I'm talking about, I let my strong second do. I'm overseeing them. I'm making sure they're doing what they need to do. But I like giving my strong second a lot of responsibility. So some of the stuff I'm talking about today on a team that I run, there's definitely more given to the strong second. There's other people that are like, they want to control everything very tightly, and their strong second will help, but they don't have, I give a lot more latitude in my strong second just because I've made a lot of magic sets, and I'm trying to use this to help train people to make more magic sets. Okay, as far as the people, you're responsible for A, making sure that all your team members know what is expected of them. Usually different people on your team have different roles. You want to make sure people understand their roles. For example, usually there's somebody who's connected to the creative team, and you want to make sure that that person's aware of creative issues, that if you have questions, there's a lot of back and forth, for example, with the creative team. And I'll get into collabs in a second. Sometimes there's people on your team because they're good at making cards. Sometimes people are on the team because they're good at balancing. Sometimes, you know, there's just different reasons people can be on your team. And what you want to do is understand what the strength of your team is. And the lead usually has a lot of say on who is on their team. Not complete say, their schedules and stuff. But, you know, the lead usually has some input on who they want on their team. Ideally, what you want when you put together a team is you want people that are enthusiastic about what you're making. If you're making a Universes Beyond product, you need a certain number of people that are well-versed in, you know, that are subject matter experts. There's a lot of roles that people can fill, but you want to make sure that your team, A, that you have the right team, B, that your team understands the expectations of them and understands their individual role, what they are doing. And also, you want your team invested. This is actually a really important part of leading a team. The idea is not you do whatever you want and your team just has to follow. You want to guide your set such that your team is all on board. And if someone on your team has an issue, understand that issue. Talk through that issue. The goal of a team lead is not to just do whatever you want. The goal of a team lead is to use your team and all the members of the team, all the strengths of the team, to make the best set you can. And so a team is very valuable. And that a lot of correctly, I think, leading a team is getting your whole team all together moving in the right direction. That it's, and when you have, like, for example, it is fine for people to have issues. It is fine for there to be people like, could we do this or that, or I wouldn't do that. Like, you want conversation between the team. That part of what makes an idea good is that it gets tested. And that, you know, it's fine if somebody that's at first maybe skeptic about, there's some skepticism about the idea, but you want to win them over. You want your team on board. When you hand over your file at the end, whether or not it's to print or whether you're earlier on, you're handing off to another team, you want your whole team proud of what they made. You want them invested in what they made. A good team lead makes their whole team feel as if they, the team, have made it. Not that they've just followed along, but they were integrally involved. And that's a lot of team leading, is getting your team invested and listening to your team, understanding issues of your team. The reason you have a team in the first place is they are experts in different areas. Listen to them, understand them. You know, if you're making a Universes Beyond set and your subject matter expert has an issue, you better listen to them. You want to make sure that you understand what their issue is. If you're a balanced person, like, whoever it is, whatever their expertise is, if they have issues, listen to them. And a lot of times, good ideas come from working through things with your team. Okay, next. You are in charge of your meetings. So it depends. Let's see. Exploratory design meets twice a week for an hour. Vision design meets three times a week, twice for an hour and once for 2 hours. And I think set design mirrors vision design. Set design ebbs and flows, so there's times when the team doesn't meet. There's times when you're sort of in limbo. And it, how much you meet can go up and down a little bit. But generally, there are some number of meetings, usually at minimum two per week, maybe one, I guess, in certain circumstances, and at most maybe a four meetings per week. And the idea is, it's your job to know what you're doing at the meetings. It's your job to figure, what are we working on today? What you know? And you want to make sure that, you, like, when you start a meeting, you want your team to know what you're doing. What are we doing today? If there's things people have to do ahead of time, we'll get into homework in a second, but yet make sure that you clarify what people need to do, how the meetings run, what happens at the meetings, and even simple things like knowing when to take breaks. For example, in the two-hour meeting, we normally we meet for an hour, but on a two-hour meeting, we'll take a break in the middle because it's a longer meeting. You want to figure out when you're playtesting. For example, a lot of making a game is playtesting the game. Now, the farther you get into the process, the more you playtest. And there are resources outside the meetings as you get farther along. We do have morning playtests that happen that are outside of team meetings. So it's a resource that if you want your team, sorry, if you want your set tested by people, especially people not on your team, there are opportunities to do that. And there's a schedule you can sign up and stuff like that. But anyway, you are in charge of making sure that your meetings go smoothly. And then an offshoot of that is your playtests go smoothly. Some of your playtests are during your meeting. Some of your playtests might be off, you know, outside of your meeting, sometimes with other people. If you're running a playtest that's not with your team, you have to make sure that you work with, we have people that help us set up, you know, people, producers that help us run those things. But you need to make sure they have the resources, your files in place. Basically, if you're going to do a playtest, you need to print cards. And in order to do that, you have to lock down the file at a point where they have time to print the cards, and the cards have to get printed. You have to know how many people are playing. Anyway, there's definitely work to do that. And there also is, when I talked about the file, I said, not only do you have to monitor the file in a larger sense, you have to literally do the file. You have to input the material. You have to track what's going on. You have to make changes. Sometimes that can other people can help with that. I have my strong second do a lot of the control of the file. There's a lot of busy work on the file, but it's important learning how to control a file and learning how to adapt things. It really, really is the best way to learn how to put a set together. Anyway, so there's a lot of manipulation of the file, and there's a lot of busy work of making the meetings happen, of just knowing what's happening. Sometimes people will put out, here's what we're doing today, stuff like that. And like I said, getting playtests and making sure you have the resources to playtest is important. Okay, next up is homework. One of the jobs of any design team is you're making magic cards. So you need to say, in between meetings, there's an expectation that people need to work on things. Usually the number one thing is making cards. Sometimes if you're early in the process, it's making mechanics or working on themes and such. In exploratory, usually you have a prompt. So the way our homework works in exploratory is this week, you know, we're making the villains Western set. Okay, we're going to play into villain tropes. Okay, are there mechanics that make sense as villains? Or today we're looking at the Westerns. Are there things that really play up a Western? And your team in exploratory are going to go usually make their own little decks, usually the 40-card decks. Some number of the cards are new, whatever you're testing, mechanic you're testing. And the rest of the cards don't need to be new. They can just be existing cards. You don't need to reinvent things. You can just fill it out with existing magic cards. And then the idea for that is we do play, usually an exploratory, it varies based on how we run the exploratory. But usually at least once a week there's playtesting. Sometimes twice a week, sometimes once a week. The way I like to run exploratories, I like one meeting every time to walk through it, to get feedback from the last playtest and walk through your new issue, whatever you're designing for that week. And then the other meeting is a playtest. But the homework is before the playtest, you have to make your cards the playtest with. And then after the playtest, you have to put feedback about how the playtest went so then we can talk about it. In vision design, a lot of the homework is just making the cards that go in the file. You're starting to design an actual file. So a lot of the homework in vision design is making the cards. The homework in set design, some of which is making cards, because that still continues on. And like I said, a majority of the cards get made in set design. I mean, vision design makes cards, but a lot of that is proof of concept more so than final design. So there's a lot of design in set design. There's some amount of play testing. There are points at which people, sometimes playtesting is limited playtesting, where just show up and we'll give you cards and play. Sometimes there are some pre-constructed decks, meaning we're going to test. So you take this theme and build a deck out of it, kind of like exploratory does. Once you get to play design, that's hardcore testing. They're doing the future league. You are building a competitive deck in the context of the format you are playing, which is sort of future standard. And they will have offsites where they do drafts, and they will do draft after draft after draft to try to understand. The other thing that goes on in set design is there are a lot of metrics. That is something that Vision doesn't do nearly as much of. Set design does a lot of, which is sort of, and play design, looking at your color balance, looking at your curve, and just doing a lot of things to make sure the file is in the right shape. And when I say metrics, there is definitely stuff that goes on in set design where you're sort of grading things and understanding the balance. Power level doesn't get set to set design. Vision design is just testing things. So we kind of put everything at a flat power level. So when you get to set design, that's when you're figuring out what the fun things are and then pushing the things. And set design, working with play design, are setting numbers and understanding costs and sort of doing all the finalizing crystallization of that. But anyway, there's constant homework. There's constant things that need to be done. So not only are you responsible for what happens within the meetings, you're responsible for the work people do between meetings. And a big part of being a lead is communicating that to your team so they know what it is they need to work with. Another thing that you want to do is I'll call direction. You want to make sure that your team are all moving in the same direction. You want to make sure that whatever it is you're doing, that you're not at odds, you're not fighting. The direction, early on in design, direction is a lot, like, if vision does its job, set design has a vision for the set. So hopefully vision has sort of set the direction for the set. So set design and play design have a direction they have to follow, but a lot of that gets set in vision. Now, maybe they try it, it doesn't work, they have to set a new direction. So set design sometimes can, the vision can change and the direction can change in set design. But one of the jobs of the lead is understand where you're going and make sure that your team understands where you're going. You always want everybody to working in, not against each other, meaning you don't want people's energies fighting each other. You want the whole team, as a team, to understand where what direction you are heading in, where the file is going, what you are doing. And that a lot of, I mean, in some ways you want to think about this is from exploratory all the way through play design, you're making a magic set. Each step of the magic set wants to think about where it is going, what is the next step. And that one of the things that I think is really important is we are, when you make a magic set, you are part of a larger process. Magic is not a solitary design process. It is a group design process. And so you have to think about how your group functions, and then you got to think about every group that's past you. That a lot of what you're doing, especially if you're working early on the process, is setting up people later in the process. For example, if I'm going to make a mechanic in exploratory or vision design, I want to make sure the mechanic I'm making is balanceable by play design later in the process. I want to make sure that I'm making the things that are needed for set design. For example, there's a lot of structure that goes in. There's draft archetypes. There are themes. You want to figure out what themes and what mechanics go into what colors, and that informs what the draft archetypes are. And just sort of says, it starts talking about what your as fan are of certain themes and stuff. All that has to get figured out. Once again, vision is going to do the first swipe at it, but they're trying to set it up so that set design and play design have the tools that they can continue that process. Another big thing, and this is sort of an offshoot of thinking downstream, is it is the lead's job to communicate with other teams. Early in the process, for exploratory and vision, especially exploratory, the main team that you're interacting with is the creative team. The creative team is doing exploratory world building, and the design team is doing exploratory design. You want to work with each other because things you do in design could change the creative. Things they do in creative could change the design. There's a lot of back and forth. As you get later in the process, more teams start getting involved. In vision design, you're going to start talking with the rules manager to make sure that the mechanics you're making work. You're going to want to talk with your editor to make sure that there's at least rough templates. The final templates will happen in set design and later, but in vision, you want to make sure if you're making something that it can be done. And so working with rules and working with editing just to make sure that you're not doing something that is going to inherently cause problems. Also, we work with play design and vision design to make sure that we're making things that can be balanced, that have the knobs in them to adjust them. The other thing that vision does, in the end of vision, we talk to digital. We want to make sure that the digital team, the things we're doing are doable on digital. And then as you get into set design, they have to start talking with the art team, because you have to start commissioning art. You got to make sure, like, the set design will choose what cards they're ready for. Like, there are waves of art. So it might be like, okay, I have to commission 100 cards. Well, let me figure out the 100 cards I'm happiest with. Because once you commit to art, that locks down the card to a certain extent. What am I happy doing the art on? Maybe it's cards that I know I want the card to stay. Maybe it's legendary creatures or things that I know what the art's going to be, even if I'm not 100% sure of the mechanics, that the art has to be a very consistent thing so we know what that is. During the whole process, there is the product architect. That's the person who, there's one product architect assigned to each set, and they work from the very, very beginning all the way to the very, very end. And so you're checking in with them. So they're making decisions. There's like financial decisions that got to be made. Let's say you want to do double face cards or do a punch out sheet, or I want to do something different with how the pre-release works. All those things cost money. And so you need to talk with the production side, with the product architect, to make sure that the budget is there to do what you want. Every Magic set has a budget. So it's not that you can't do things, but you have to make sure that what you're doing is viable and doable. Sometimes you have to interact with printing. When we were doing double face cards, could we do double face cards? Like, Duel Masters had done them, but that was a much smaller set. We had to make a lot more cards, involved different printers. Was it viable? And if so, are there rules about what we can do? You know, at each stage, when you're making something, you need, when I was doing stickers, I had it like, we had never done stickers before on a Magic card. What do we need to do to make that work? There's a lot of working with different teams. Also, we have to work with marketing. We have so one of the things you're responsible for when you lead a team is what we call KSPs. That stands for key selling points. And from a marketing standpoint, it's like, why would someone want this set? What about this set is exciting? Are there exciting mechanics, brand new mechanics? Are we doing something, you know, are we doing something we've never done before? Or are we hitting a theme that people like? Are we bringing back something that people enjoy? Is there a really cool creative treatment? Are we doing something that we've never done before? Like, what exactly is going to sell the set? What makes people stand up and listen? And obviously, with Universes Beyond, how are we representing that? Like, what are the things that will most excite people who are fans of that property? So there's a lot of interacting with other teams that's key to leading a set. And the other thing that you find when you're leading sets is you get problems that you just, like, part of your job when you're leading a set is you have to deal with the other teams, and then they will let you know when something pops up that's a problem. And there's a lot of problem solving that happens. And the later you get in the process, the more problems. Like, early on, for example, if I'm in vision and I have to cut a card or even a mechanic, not that big a deal. We got time to adapt. If we're in editing after pencils down and something has to change, that's a big deal. So the later you get in the process, the more restrictions you have on you, and the trickier it is to make changes. And that's when you got to get creative. That's when a card falls through, but you have the art and you have to adapt to the art. Or, you know, you're dealing, like, another thing you have to deal with is we make different frames. So you have to deal with graphic design to figure out your frames. Maybe you're making a new symbol. I mean, normally there's a symbol for the expansion symbol, but maybe there's a new mechanical symbol. You're doing something like energy or something. You need a symbol for it. There's a lot of different moving pieces. And the other thing that's important is it's not as if every set is the same. It's not as if, you know, I've led, I don't know, 40-some vision design teams, or design/vision design teams. What is important in what, like, when I was making Innistrad, I was doing double face cards, so that there was a whole big thing about dealing with printing. I don't normally have to go talk to the printers. That's not, or are people that deal with the printers. That's not something I normally have to worry about. But, you know, there are sets where I do, or maybe there's a set where collation matters and I have to worry about collation. Or there's a set where there's some weird creative element that I have to deal with, you know, or Maybe there's a rules issue that we have to work through. Each set is different. Each set is going to have different challenges, but it is the job of the lead to make sure that you're interacting with everybody else. You are considered the expert on your set. You're the one that understands, and from a mechanical standpoint. And so we have what we call gate meetings. They start at gate zero. I think they go to gate 10. And those are meetings in which different groups of people gather together, and you're talking through sets at different stages of their evolution. And the major, you know, people in R&D, what I like to call the powers that be, you know, there are people that have to green light things. And so there's a lot of process where you talk things through and you get feedback. And, you know, there's a constant checking in and making sure that things are working. And that when things aren't working, hey, you're doing the trouble spotting and making sure that you can solve those problems. Once again, a lot of leading a team is customized to that particular product, but it's understanding what's going on with that product. It's making sure that you are staying on top of the issues. There's people you're working with. For one, you have your architect. They're the one through line through the whole process. And the teams, like, with a few exceptions, I think Infinity is the only one I can think of off the top of my head. The people who are leading Exploratory and Vision and Set and Play Design are not the same people. They're different people. Exploratory and Vision can be the same person. Often that happens. But Vision and Set Design are normally not the same people. Although we definitely have done times where there are certain people who are very good at the middle part of the process. Gottlieb is one of them. Where sometimes he will lead Vision or the late part of Vision and then the early part of Set, but then hand off the later part of Set to somebody else. When things break can vary on the people. And so there's always a lead, but when you change leads is not as set in stone. Different people excel at different parts of the process. Usually for me, for example, once Vision's done, I got to get on to the next Vision. So I'm handing it off. There are some people that, like Gottlieb's a good example, where he will stick around and lead the set into Set Design. Usually not all the way through. He'll hand it off at some point. One of the things, by the way, we like about how we do set design in general is usually it's good to have a second pair of eyes. That's why we like to change teams. That's why the vast majority of teams do change. Just so there's a different team with a different perspective looking at it. And maybe it's very easy sometimes when you make something that you can get blind to things. That's why most of the time you want to have a second set of eyes. Okay, what else? I guess I'm at work here, so let me wrap up here. Basically, the job of a lead is overseeing the product, overseeing the team, and overseeing the interconnectivity between your team and other teams. Those are the three main things. And that one of the challenges of being a team lead is there's no such thing as just the normal thing. There's things you always do. I mean, there's things that every lead has to do, and those happen. But every set is very unique. You know, I talk about how in some ways Magic is mini games, right? That each set is kind of its own game. Yeah, it has a shared rule set. It has shared components. But each set is its own thing. And this is part of the fun for me is, you know, this is my 29th year of making Magic. Aren't I bored yet? Aren't I bored of making Magic? And the answer is no, because every set is very unlike every other set. That, you know, one of the fun things about making a Magic set is each set has its own challenges. And you, as the lead of that set, have to figure out those challenges, have to figure out what are the issues for my set, what are the problems for my set, and how do I solve them? And each set will have unique problems to deal with. We'll have things that you've never dealt with before. We'll have, you know, interactions that might be different. And so that's what keeps it fresh and keeps it fun. And so I love leading Magic sets. I think it's super fun. I mean, I call it a dream job. It is, in fact, a dream job. I like being creatively challenged. I like, you know, solving problems. I like interacting with people. And being a team lead lets you do all those things. And it's a very fun part of the process. And the other fun thing that I didn't really get into is working in a group, doing group design, There's frustrations at time when you want to do something, but other people don't want to do something. There can be frustrations, but there's a lot of really fun things that come with working together. And the best is that you make something better than any one of you could have made in isolation. That the great thing about a team is that different people have different strengths. And that's part of what you do as a team lead is learn to let people's strengths shine and lean into where your team members shine. And that when you do that, we end up making something that no one person could have made. And that's really cool. So anyway, guys, that is what a team lead does. So I hope this is informative. And I guess that's it for today because I am at work. So that means this is the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to make magic. Hope you enjoyed today's talk, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.